Okay, well, let's start with the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for our time together. God, thank you for your presence. God, thank you for your glory that shines upon this place, God, and in our hearts. Lord, we pray for your spirit to move, to proclaim over us, God, your name. God, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. So what we want to talk about today is, in our series on knowing God, is the beauty of God. So, and it's an interesting topic, or it's very unconventional, because the idea of beauty is so visual, and God is invisible. And so we want to look at the Word of God and begin to kind of why, first of all, what it is and why it is so important to us to understand how God is beautiful and what God is doing in creating beauty in our lives. Let's turn to Psalm 27:4. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. There is, in the gazing of the beauty of the Lord and the idea of inquiring in his temple. Now, if I was to ask, how would you describe that God is beautiful? How would you describe? If I say, hey, how would you describe this painting or this music or this form of art or, you know, this actress or actor? You would give a description of what it is that you believe is beauty. But how would you describe how God is beautiful? It's interactive. You can do one words or a phrase. Do you believe God is beautiful? I think most of us would say, you know, yes. But how would you describe that? How would you describe? Is it indescribable? I think the idea of beauty, we think, is very visual. But even in the very secular sense, beauty is actually very much a story. It's a story that we're surrounded by. And so the narrative, the story around the idea of beauty and our experience of beauty is kind of like medicine. I don't know, many of you understand what when I say placebo, right? Medicines that are actually not medicines, they're just sugar tablets. And they give it to people and, you know, some people get better when they take a placebo. But if you tell people that this is very expensive medicine, it actually works a lot better. That's why many people buy brand name Tylenol instead of acetaminophen, because they believe, right, that it's more expensive, it has a brand name, and so it works better. It works better. And there was a very interesting story about a Dutch forger, and I think it's Gerling. I think I might have shared this story before. But Gerling was an art enthusiast, and he had this love of this one particular artist. I forgot the artist's name, but he was in competition with Hitler to amass his collection. And the Dutch forger actually made an almost exact duplicate. Nobody knew at the time. Until, I think it was the Nuremberg trials, he got word while he was in prison that he actually paid, at that time, like $12 million for this painting. And his comments, paraphrase, What kind of a cruel man would do something like that? The idea that you would forge, you know, beautiful art. But of course, that art, that piece of forgery was worthless. Now, it looks exactly the same, even has, you know, the signature, very similar to the signature. But the story around that picture is that it's a forgery. So we can say, so people wouldn't even, you know, probably pay $100, you know, to buy something like that. Now, later on, you know, his name got out there that he actually duped, you know, like the number one right man to Hitler, and that he became some sort of a patriot and a hero. So after he was released from jail, he became pretty famous, actually. And of course, the story around that forged painting now, right, gained a lot of attention and it became kind of expensive. But you can kind of get the sense, right? There is a difference between pretty or even handsome. But when you had childhood crushes, or even not even childhood crushes, when you think, oh, this guy is really handsome, we project all sorts of, you know, ideas, right? That this person must be a great person, right? Or that this guy must be this amazing, you know, like, person, you know? Or you might see him from a distance and you get close and this handsome guy, you know, comes up to you and goes, hey, how you doing? You know? And you go, oh my goodness, maybe, you know, you wake from this, right? The story is like all confusing now, you know, with that one little, hey, how you doing? You know? It's, and one of the things about, you know, premarital and marital counseling is we have a story about them. And we don't even know we have it. And because of this story, part of why we found them to be so beautiful, and sometimes you have to adjust those, and it's called expectation, by the way, right? We have an expectation. We have expectations of God. You know, and when you say, oh, God is beautiful because, and then, Job had that. Job thought that God was all that. He was great, and a lot of it was just accurate. But he had no story about what God was doing because he was suffering. He didn't have that. And so his expectation of God, and the grumbling and the growing bitterness in his heart, until, of course, what? Famously, God then shows up. Then he said, and he begins to speak to Job. Where were you, you know, when I created this? And, you know, and just, this is, not only am I a great God, but that I am a beautiful God, and I do beautiful things, and I am doing beautiful things in your life. And then Job responds at the end, right? He says, oh, you know, there are things too wonderful for me to know. I had no idea, God. And that right there, right? The story of what God is doing is what we want to read. What God was doing in your life, here's the thing. Just like a great God, right? Last week we talked about a great God. If you think of, would want what? God, a great God doesn't have mediocre children. A great God has great children. And a great God has great ambitions for his children. Humility is not wanting to be not great. That's not humility. Oh, I don't want to be great. I don't want... No. See, here's the thing. God defines greatness. And it's obviously through the path of utter humility. But God expects all of his children to be great. And if he gave you great talents, then use those talents, but it's always going to be on that path of humility. So obviously, a beautiful God would want beautiful children. But it's not in the ways that we think about beauty. Let's take a look. This is an interesting article. It is about actually photography. The title, and it captured my attention, it says, How the Right Light Can Make Anyone Look Beautiful. Photography is about lighting. And this is the quote. You can make literally anyone look and feel beautiful. It's this essence of portrait photography that keeps me coming back for more. The ability to spread something positive by showcasing people in their best form by using light and a bit of camera skill. That is, and so what gives shape to beauty is light. If there is no light, there is no beauty. I mean, in the visual sense. Now, they've done lots of study about trying to figure out the visual center in the brain, right? And now we know that at least sight, though, there's this place called the occipital lobe. It's in the back of your brain, and it's the center of vision. But it isn't the center of beauty, right? And then it goes, radiates outward. And then it comes to the frontal cortex, right? Mixes in with a bunch of stories, a value system. Is it a forgery, right? And then it mixes with your value system, what you value. For those who married, right, their spouse, it was a value proposition. I hate to say it, you know, you value them. Whatever it is that you value, you found it in that person. But that was a, there was a story storming. I said, take a look at this idea that glory emanates from the glory of God, that beauty emanates. And the glory of God is actually a a story. It's a story of who God is. And as often as I've read it, I don't ever tire of reading it again to you. And I hope you would get something out of it. The Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. Now, that's important because Moses did not ask for the name of the Lord. Moses asked God, show me your glory. And then God said, I will allow my goodness to pass before you. But then when it comes to the moment of the glory of God and the goodness of God radiating to Moses, it's actually verbal. It's actually verbal. And he proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty. And Moses quickly bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. You may be experiencing some of this. Let's say you're singing a song, as we did, you know, today. And you're singing, I love you, Lord. And then, in the midst of your singing, you're taken before the throne of God. And then God pronounces to you, I love you. I love you. I love you, Robert. I love you, Karen. I love you, Luri. You know, I love you, Nate. And, you know, and then God proclaims, right, his steadfast love. You might come in here with all manners of condemnation, right? And all manners of guilt, of all inadequacy. You come in here and God proclaims his steadfast love to you. Not words of condemnation, but words of acceptance. And if you've ever found God to be beautiful, it's only because he has proclaimed his name to you in the moments that it mattered. Psalm 119, 103. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. There is so much darkness every day that just wants to creep in, you know? And we desperately need the beauty of God, the glory of God, to shine into that darkness, because darkness also has words. It's lawless. It's not true, right? It makes you feel insecure. It instills fear into your life, makes you afraid of the future, of your relationships. What do we want? What we want is beauty, true beauty, the beauty of God radiating and being proclaimed through the Word of God. Because in that moment, allow God to proclaim his goodness over you, like a light breaking through, right, into the darkness. Here's how Scripture talks about what it's going to be, right, in eternity, Revelations 21, 22. And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the God Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it. For the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. There will be just beauty all around, you know? Not because it is the light of God that gives everything beauty. And we'll be in the midst of it for all eternity. You know, it's sad. You know, today we're so craving for beauty. You know, people spend millions of dollars trying to buy paintings, you know, collect things. You know, listen to Spotify 24/7 and, you know, watch beautiful stories on K-drama. We're just dying for beauty. And what we desperately, really, really need is for God to just proclaim his goodness in our loneliness, in our guilt, in our shame, in our envy, right? In our bitter hearts, we need God to proclaim and shine his light into our hearts. Here's good news. That this beautiful God who desires to radiate his beauty is out to create beauty. He makes all things beautiful. Ecclesiastes 3:11, he says, he has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity into man's hearts. What Scripture is saying is what God is doing in your life is creating something beautiful. What God was doing in Job's life was creating something so wonderful, his mind couldn't even grasp it. Job can't even explain it to us. He just knew. And it's not short term. Here's the thing. It's for all eternity. We're just so, like, I want something beautiful now. Now God is looking to eternity. The things that God wants to do in your life is creating something beautiful eternally. Psalm 19:1. The heavens declare the glory of God, I love the pictures coming back, right? From the recent space telescope. I love looking at, I mean, I just have this thing now, right? Wanting to go to, you know, Trey Point State Park to see just the stars dot the skies. And just to see the greatness of God, how big God is. You know, just, you know, we're making plans, Ellen and I, to go and see the total eclipse. But all I'm saying is, everything around you declares the glory of God. And the sky above proclaims his handiwork. People, everything beautiful points to the one who is beautiful. If it doesn't lead you to worship the one and only beautiful artist, we make an idol of the thing that we find beautiful. It's screaming to us. You can trust God. You can surrender your life to God. Your problem is not as big as you think, because God is great. You could listen to him, trust him, obey him. Philippians 3:19. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and the glory in their shame, with mindset on earthly things. We're talking about just the world here, obviously. A world that craves beauty will make an idol of anything. Paul goes on to say, but our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body. Glorious body, a glorified body, just another way of saying a beautiful body. Proverbs 31. And this isn't just for a wife, right? But listen to what God is doing. The reason why this is so excellent, so beautiful, right, is in all the ways that God was working in this person, this individual. Let's pick it up, verse 10. An excellent wife who can find, she is far more precious than jewels. Oh, beautiful. That's the language of beauty, isn't it? And anything you find beautiful is precious, worthy, more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She puts her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle, spinning yarn and so forth. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. This is the beauty standards of God for both men and women. The Hebrew here in beauty is obviously the outward appearance. Here's a woman who has been richly blessed. She is generous because she has a heart of generosity. She is kind. And she does not fear the future. She is not paralyzed by it. Her faith is in the Lord. Because ultimately, someone who reveres the Lord is someone who trusts the Lord, someone who has had the glory of God proclaimed over her life. 1 Peter 3:3, do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear. Now, it's not talking about, right, like makeup or not putting on, you know, nice clothes. It's just that it's not to be the focus. Because if that's how you take it, then clearly you shouldn't even be wearing clothes. It says, right? Clearly, that's not what the scripture here is talking about. What does it say? But let your adorning be the what? Hidden person. Get busy. God's standard of beauty is the person. It's not the outward appearance. It's the heart. With the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is what? Very precious. Very precious. Oh, God loves beauty. God loves beauty. Look, if God thought, God only, right? He would have made, if God's standard of beauty, right? If beauty was outward, he would have made every Christian pretty and handsome in the secular sense. Clearly, that is not the issue. 2 Corinthians 4:17. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond the comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Oh, the glory, the work that God is doing, the eternal nature of what God does. And here's the thing, you gotta want to be beautiful. You got to want to be beautiful because you serve a beautiful God. A great God wants his children to be great, and a beautiful God wants his children to be beautiful. And all of his work is to create that beauty. It's not done in a second. It's not done in a day. It's not even done in a year. It's a lifetime of work for this what? Eternal weight of glory that is beyond all comparison. And even if our gospel is veiled, 2 Corinthians 4:3, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You know, I love, you know, praising God with you. I love when I'm reading the Word of God, and all of a sudden, I'm not just reading about God. I'm having him proclaim and pronounce and declare over me. I love coming to God guilt-ridden to have him say, "There's no condemnation, Henry." I love coming to God just as I am, not having to wait. I love God knowing there's shortcoming. And I need God to continue. I need to see and gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. We gaze at everything else, but what we need most desperately is to gaze and to inquire of God that he may pronounce his goodness over your life. Let's close with prayer. Let's pray. Many of us, you know, we come in here and we're just kind of out of sorts. I know I'm there very often. And there is every day of every week, there's just so much darkness and chaos that just wants to creep in and creeps in into our lives. And we need the light of God to proclaim over us His steadfast love, His mercy, His forgiveness, to let us know, let me know. Just, I love you. Everything's gonna be okay. Everything's gonna be okay. I have a purpose for your life. And I mean you no harm. But I am doing something so wonderful for you. So grand and so marvelous. And I want you to trust me. I hope you hear the voice of God just proclaiming over you the goodness of God. Heavenly Father, as we come to a moment of worship, would you proclaim your goodness over us? Would you bring light into dark places? God, will your light free us, God, from the dark stories surrounding beauty in our minds? Oh, that we would see, God, the beauty of the Lord. To gaze upon your beauty and to inquire, God, from your word. In Jesus' name, amen.